Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Saturday, and it's Ask Dave number 6, who wants to be very punished by questions today.
Number six. In an ongoing series.
Yeah, we love doing these. These are great. It's a nice day in sunny South Florida. What about you?
It's like supposed to be 90 today.
Wow, hot. Holy shit.
Or somewhere, maybe it won't get there, but it'll probably be in the 80s, which is odd. It was cold for a while, and then all of a sudden, boom, this weekend was warm.
It was cold by what standards?
Not that cold. 70.
Oh, okay.
65, 60.
It got down to like 75 here, and it was really nice.
The really weird thing that happened here is that, you know, the it could be like 75, 80 during the day in winter, or 70 to 80, let's say, during the day in winter.
Mm-hmm.
But then it could go down to freezing.
Right.
At night. Like, could go down to like 32 even, you know, at night. And it's sometimes hard to predict what you're going to wear or what coat you should have or this or that.
Yeah. When I was there for one NAMM. It was freezing that one NAMM. It was rainy and freezing.
Oh yeah, that was a really bad one.
Yeah, and I had no, I did not pack appropriately. So
yeah,
it was a fucked up weekend. So look at that pedal board behind you. Holy shit!
So that's like a 20 space or 22 space rack that we finished and there for John Shanks, and that pedal board, as you see, is leaning up against that rack, and it's taller. It uses a caveman audio control switcher from Skidstrip. It's caveman audio now, which designed by Skidstrip, which used to be, they used to be called Skidstrip switchers.
Hmm.
It's like double expanded, so it's like, you know, 25 instant access switches and 8 presets per bank. So it's big. Crazy. It's a big boy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's cool though.
I don't know how. I mean, it's tap dancing.
Look, you can't carry it really. I mean, you can do it. My arm span is just long enough to grab it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for
you. It's actually laid out really simple. It's not very hard to deal with. But when you have a system set up that has instant access switches for every effect in the rack, it makes life really simple in thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, those aren't on? I turn them on. Okay, store. Got it.
Right. That's cool.
And then there's MIDI, but that's a whole different thing.
Wow. That's a lot of effects he needs. That's for his touring with Bon Jovi.
Yes. That's the newest as of 2021 version.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So just to mention, our show today is sponsored by Sweetwater. We want to thank Sweetwater for sponsoring our show. And we have an affiliate link in the comments or in the description below the video. If you guys check that out, you know, we get a kickback or a little commission on anything that you buy there. We also wanted to talk specifically about a product today, and I'm going to share my screen.
Super cool.
Which is the Ecstasy Stereo 2 radial pedal or reamping device, actually. Let me show this to you. Can you see that?
Yeah. So what this beautiful piece is, and you know, for a lot of years, this was a pain in the ass to do. This allow you, if you're recording and or mixing, to interface guitar effects pedals with your recording interface or line level devices. So you can, you know, feed the correct level into the pedals and bring it back into the DAW and get, you know, you can use your guitar effects now as colors and stuff where you can print the audio. You could run a mic out through it and back. You can use it in mixing. It's stereo, so that's really cool. I mean, you could, if you wanted to say, Not that you necessarily would, but if you wanted to, say, run two compressor pedals that you really like, but you wanted to put it on the mix bus of the mix, you can do that with this. It's essentially a totally well thought out interface, and it has a blend knob too. So you can also just blend things in. Like, let's say you want to use it in mono and put it on an insert for a bass guitar, and you want that bass guitar to, you want to blend a big muff in with the bass guitar. You can use this blend knob, which is great because then you get the fundamental of the bass still through, but then you can just blend in the amount of drive or all the way, which is right through the drive.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Super useful tool.
Yeah, it looks like a great tool for producers and engineers.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. That's what it's highly targeted at. But I think it's, people making music at home on their computers, and a lot of times these guys are pedophiles, so to speak, and pedal files, not the other. and they have a ton of old fuzz pedals and a ton of old cool things. I know tons of producers and stuff that do that kind of stuff, and this just makes it a super easy tool for them to use for it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But Radiolite as a company has always, brought it when you needed that thing that fixed the one thing that you needed to fix, They have so many things. They have some new power conditioners they've come out with.
Yeah, let me show that one too.
Which is the Power 2 and the Power 1. And those are cool. This is the Power 1. That has some outlets in the output, a USB charging thing. Really, I looked at these in person. They're really made well. They're definitely a competition for a Furman kind of thing. It's not a big price either. It's a good price. And then there's a Power 2 also. I don't know if they have that, Mark.
They didn't send me the link for that one, so I just have for this one. But they say this is it's new and it's on the way. So,
yeah, the Power and the essentially the Power 2 has like a pull-out LED tray that you can change colors on that acts as a light, sort of like a Furman.
Mm-hmm.
They're made super rugged. Like most stuff Radial makes is like, you could throw it against a wall and nothing would happen to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got
literally bulletproof tanks. Yeah, there's that one.
Yeah, this one's cool. I mean, I had a competitor's pedal before I had this, and there was so much hum, and this has got everything. It's got all the
transformer isolation and it has a phase reverse. The other one, this one's a passive one you have though, so you need to feed it with some sort of buffered source, otherwise it won't work for guitar stuff. But there's another one, Twin City AB box, that they make that's a 9-volt powered. Has the same phase reversal and stuff, a good buffer, and it works really good for applications like that.
Wow. Awesome.
But they make so many things. I mean, it's endless. How many DIs, how many rack mount splitter for guitar amps they make, just any kind of problem solver you can ever think of.
yeah. They're great, great, rugged.
It's a cool company. Yeah. They've always come out with great stuff. So,
yeah. And we want to thank Sweetwater for allowing us to promote them. So you guys make sure you check out Radial. Make sure you check out the Radial EXTC stereo 2-channel box there or device and also the power conditioner. All right, cool. So I know we already have a bunch of questions ready to roll. One question that was sent to me right off the bat, and I'm going to see if it's still there. Oh, it is here. From John E. Hey, Mark and Dave, love everything you guys do. Did you ever end up receiving the Vinyl Rat EP and debut LP I sent you?
Yes. And thank you very much, John. I did get it.
Oh, it's awesome.
That was very cool.
That's cool. What album is it? Oh, it's a debut album. Okay.
Yeah, the EP.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
That's cool. So let me make sure I get to first question here. Oh, Stephen Douglas talked about, I know, do you watch football, Dave?
Nope.
Not at all. All right.
Not at all.
All right. So, Stephen, thanks for the congrats on the game. We'll see. It was a great game last Thursday, though. That was for sure. I really enjoyed it. My son and I watched it. We actually had tickets to go, but we just we thought it was going to be a complete blowout. It was the Dolphins versus the Ravens, and it was actually the Dolphins won. Who would know? They actually give me, this is the circle of life as a Dolphins fan, because they give you hope, and then you go, oh, and then they suck again.
Well, it's better than Detroit, who just sucks all the time for the last, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, 30 years.
I think longer than that.
Maybe.
And never since I've been alive have I known them to have a good year.
It's rare. I remember when Barry Sanders was on the team and it was fun to watch, but you guys still lost every game.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was tough. Gary Miner, come on, Mark, don't be stingy with the episode. I'm not being stingy. It's usually Dave who has to go on Saturday. Friday nights, it's rough for me on a work day because he's 3 hours behind. Just remember that. So by Friday night at like 10:30, because I'm an old man, I'm ready to go to bed. So, all right. So let's. Unfortunately, I'm 53. So, let me scroll here. Okay, we've got Alex C. Dave, on Jerry's new album, Biting. Is that it? Biting.
Did you make?
I don't know. No tweaks.
No tweaks. Nope. No nothing. Still okay. Uses the same amps.
The Mike No More's killer unit. If people don't know about it, yes, it is a killer unit.
Yeah, it works really well for an analog cab sim. They're great.
Does it sell well?
It sells okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of like a stable little seller, you know.
Yeah, I would think it'd be pretty cool. We also have Hyperbole Kid. When can we expect the It Depends Tone Talk merch? Oh, well, thanks for the reminder. I really appreciate that. I have to do that. It's probably going to happen before Christmas time. If I have some time, hopefully I can get that design made. So I think below our videos, we have a shop where our t-shirts and stuff.
You think?
Well, you know, I can't find it on the phone.
Right.
But for some reason, I think on the actual, well, if I go to it now, it's not going to, I'm going to put the video up. So, and then it'll have audio and a problem. So, but I think, and I'll check after the video to make sure that it's still there, but our shop should be there with our t-shirts, masks. You can buy whatever you want, tank tops, hoodies, all have the Tone Talk logo on it. And then I promise, get on the back at some point where it's going to say It Depends and in some kind of font on, or some kind of design Dave and I will agree to. So, all right.
It's coming.
It's coming. I promise. I just have to find the time. But it's rather simple. I just need to find the actual font that we're going to use that says It Depends to put on the back of the shirt. Or wherever you, tell me where you guys want it. Do you want it on the back of the shirt? You want it on the front of the shirt? I don't know. You want it on the pocket? Let us know. But yeah, it's coming. So cool. Thank you. Did I bring up Tim from Bare Knuckle already on the show? Or was that before we talked about?
No, that was before we started.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to mention Tim, who, over at Bare Knuckle Pickups. If you guys have not checked out his pickups, please do. They are killer. I put in the Nantucket P90 today on my SG Junior. Big improvement over the stock Gibson P90 that was in there.
Yeah.
Really open, articulate. It's great. It's great. Rolls back nicely. So I love it. And then also have this, which is the Rebel Yell. It's going to be going in my, yeah, which is going to go in my Explorer. And then I got the VH2, which is going in my Cali, which you and I were talking about. So I want to thank
you. Need the neck of the VH2.
I will get it. I'll talk to Tim.
Because the neck is incredible in the VH2.
That's cool. Yeah. So, Tim, thank you for the pickups. You're awesome. Daniel Judge, you're awesome. Thanks for the super chat. Is there a question though? I'm not sure if BB, let me see. I want to make sure. Nope, he hasn't sent me anything yet. So let me see if you have a question, Daniel, because I don't want to miss it. Do you see it, Dave, by any chance?
I'm kind of glancing through right now. But
oh, here it is. Dave, thanks for the tube bias. By the way, just purchased Friedman Cali this week to match my NoHo.
Sweet.
Oh, so you must have helped him with the bias?
Probably.
Okay. Well, thank you, Daniel.
You gotta understand. I don't know. I talk to so many people, and sometimes I'm sure. See people, and sometimes feels like the NAMM show sometimes, because it's like you know, it's like I talk to you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, NAMM is tough to
remember. I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
I wonder.
I don't think so.
Will you ever do it again?
Is it really worth? I mean, I don't know. This is going to change, you know, how we've had to do this for a couple of years is going to kind of change everything, I think. I think maybe NAMM was an antiquated business model. It's not, kind of not the way things are done anymore. It had been that way for years, really. And for the amount of money on the scale that we do NAMM, at least, that you spend, I guess it all scales. If you're a smaller company, you know, you spend less, but you still spend a lot compared to what you make if you're not making that much. But if you're making more, you're spending more. So it's just kind of scales kind of. But man, that's like basically picture NAMM as being like on the scale we do it as pretty much the factory doesn't ship any product for a month because they're busy prepping for NAMM and stuff. So you're out of money for that month on shipping products. Half the people go away for a week, you know, at NAMM. So nothing's really getting done then. And then you spend a real lot of money.
Yeah.
On a 50 by 50 style booth or whatever our measurement is that we had. I mean, you know, just
that's real money.
That's real money just alone for just the concrete slab for the weekend. I mean, it's as much as a car. Buying a car outright, expensive car.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, and then you talk in union fees and setup fees and labor and people staying at hotels, like say 15, 16 hotel rooms. And people, some people flying in from out of state, which is also paid for as part of the thing. By the time you're done with wages you lost at the factory, you're spending $160,000 to $200,000. So how many sales do you have to make that back?
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's a crazy amount of money. Yeah. And, you know, and the downtime, like you said. And I wonder how it's going to be this year. When is it?
They moved it to June, from January to June.
To June, yeah. So next year.
That's confusing for me. I don't know. So my question is then, is the Nashville show off?
Sounds like it. I think the Nashville show was completely dead. They did it this past year.
This one's going to be completely dead.
Mm-hmm. It's sad in a way.
I don't think I'm even going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like to do NAMM. Does it make sense as a company? I'm not sure it does. The amount of money that you wind up spending on it, you could spend on great marketing videos and get way more traction out of it in the long run.
Yeah, it seems like it. We'll see what happens. I'll miss it, though, personally. I like going. It was fun to see everybody and to go out to dinner and, you know, and just spend the day walking in the super loud, you know.
It's super good, but you know how I wouldn't be too enthused about having a sound room. Seems like an incubator to me.
Yeah, it's so true. No, you're right.
There's no ventilation in there.
Yeah, there's no ventilation at all. That's so true.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's so I had a laugh at this commentary in the comment section. Drew A said, I think Gig Rig has a similar piece called The Wetter Box.
No.
Okay. But Stephen Douglas said, you said Wetter Box.
The Wetter Box isn't really the same thing. The Wetter Box is more basically totally guitar centric, not really designed to interface with your recording gear. The Wetter Box has like a little mixer built in and some other features, but it's not the same, because this will take the line level signal, knock it down to pedal level for you, feed it through your pedals, come back and boost it back up to come back into your computer. So this is a totally different piece.
Gotcha. And Rico Ruotolo, thanks for the super chat. How about a Syn 2 or Syn 4 where you can blend modules? That would be freaking cool. I will tell you that. Mix knob and polarity flip, would love to blend amp tones without a second pass at reamping.
Well,
that's a cool idea.
You can have two Syn 2s.
But you still can't blend them, though.
It doesn't work as well as you guys think. Never in my experience in all the years of doing racks and things, when that has been brought up or tried to be implemented, has it been good?
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work. It works better for a bass, maybe, but not so much. There's so many problems with what you're trying to do there. So you realize that from channel to channel, depending on the module, the phases can be totally different. Even from, not only from unit to unit, but from channel to channel on the units. So so you'd have to, if you're running stuff in parallel, you'd have to address that. So you'd almost need something that's a phase flip that you can program in for the particular patch you're on or not. It's a nightmare to do it properly.
Steve Vai doesn't do that, right?
Nope.
He'll just play one module at a time.
Yeah. No one does that. No one does that I've ever encountered, at least. I'm not going to say no one, but I mean, I understand what you're talking about. I understand the idea, but it's better just to use separate tracks and yeah. I mean, I then blend it to one out of the unit.
Okay. John Deshane wants me to throw my Big Shot ABY and see what happens. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I doubt anything would happen, though, except for a huge dent in my wall.
I mean, if you threw it just right, maybe you could break the switches off.
Possible.
Possible. But chances are not, though.
Yeah. Let's see. Hey, Dave, did Bob Rock ever send you the high watt amp he said he would?
No. Did he say he would?
He did.
Or did he say I was going to service it or something?
Remember that we were talking about the special Canadian high watt that he had?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I forget. Maybe he said he was going to send it to you to take a look at the circuit or something like that.
Oh, okay. No, he never did. I think I figured out what it was.
Yeah, that was a cool story. Apparently, like, the distributor in Canada was modding them before they were selling them to stores.
Yeah. Makes it a little higher gain.
Yep. And speaking of Canada, I think Amanda Coombs. What's up, Amanda?
Hello.
Thanks for joining. Let's see. Brian Reed, Dave, love the Kemper profiles you did with Michael. Anything else planned?
There'll be more profiles with Michael coming. So you can watch for those. Yeah, Michael's great at that. So I give all the credit to him on that.
Dave, did you ever work with Oz Fox or Michael Sweet? Always thought they were underrated.
No, I have met Oz Fox. He was at a NAMM show once. I remember playing through some of my stuff. Michael Sweet, from what I understand, Michael Sweet might have one of our pedals or something. But I've never met him. Probably okay. Could pretty easy since he's friends with like George Lynch and stuff.
Scott Brockway, thanks for saying hi. How do you back? Cheddar Kung Pao says the Lions are the champions of being terrible.
Absolutely. They're really good at it. They have been for many, many, many years.
Solar Warden, that's John Shanks rig in the back.
Yep. With a pedal board taller than the rack.
Amazing. Who's Marshall? Is that on the floor there?
That's one I just sold to someone. Yep.
Alistair Alaskan, what are some of Dave's favorite modulation pedals? Are there any digital multi-effect mod pedals that he recommends?
Oh, favorite modulation pedals. This is this will run into Dave's faves, but modulation pedals. So quickly off the top of my head, let's say an old Boss CE2 pedal is great. You can also buy it new now. It's the Waza version. And then an original Boss CE1 pedal for the vibrato side of it. That's also very cool. So Boss made a new one though that has both in it. Favorite modulation pedal. Well, this gets a little crazy now. Like modulation as in chorus, as in flange, as in phase, because that's all modulation, and I think there'd be too many to list. I'll try to touch on each kind of thing. So I touched on a couple choruses. So there are other ones though, like a small clone chorus or something was really cool. As far as phasers go, MXR Phase 45, if you want it more kind of watery univibe like, and then MXR Phase 90, of course, is a classic that most of us know. Those are great phase pedals. Flange pedals, the MXR flanger comes to mind, the ADA flanger, and an Electric Mistress, all very different, all of them. Also, maybe an honorable mention to the FL9, I think. It was an Ibanez flanger, a little yellow flanger. I think it was four knobs, if I recall. That's a super cool one, too.
Do you ever hear the Paul Gilbert flanger?
Mm-mm.
It was like, I think it was Ibanez or...
Oh, I just thought of another one. Sorry. Also, Dimension D pedal was great.
Yes, I was going to mention that one, too.
Really cool. I mean, you can also get into pitch detunes and that. I mean, do you want to talk rack choruses? So, I mean, there's, Tri-Stereo Chorus, all the classics, TC-1210 for rack choruses, and then... If you're talking about, pitch detune stuff, the original H3000 probably has the best pitch detune, I think. SPX-90 is an honorable mention. That was, used pretty widely back in the day. Those were the two main ones.
That's what I use, the SPX-90 detune.
It's a really easy one. It's almost like lo-fi analog now.
Yeah, it
sounds, with it digital, sounds but
it sounds good. By the way, from a digital perspective, multi-effects, maybe like the HX Stomp?
No. Oh, from the digital side, for a modulation, no. I would say the Boss MD-500. That pretty much does all their famous modulations and then some, univibes, all sorts of stuff. And it really sounds analog-y and really cool.
Okay.
Highly recommended.
Cool. Modern Vintage. Dave, if you connect amps and load boxes to an ampete for using IRs, does the use of an ampete eliminate any chance of an inferior or faulty load box harming an amp and the ampete? Is the TAE 100% safe? I think that's two separate questions.
Okay. The amp Pete has no bearing because it's just switching amps into whatever load box you have going. It's not going to, well, the amps that are obviously not connected to the load box are saved from anything. Is the TA 100% safe? I can't say that it's 100% safe. Might it be safe for your amp? Yeah. Does it sound good? Yes. I won't warranty my transformers with it, though. Nor will Sir, no, nor will several other companies now also. So that's all I have to say. I mean, I think it sounds really good, but
right.
If you use the switches on lower settings, not the higher settings, so to the left instead of to the right for the bass curve and the treble curve, then it's a lot safer of a load.
Okay.
I won't say 100% though, because you know what? No one can seem to give me, most good amp techs that have looked at it, and a lot of respectable, you know, respected people have said it's questionable. So might be fine for a long time, but in down the road, it might be an issue with your, it had done some internal damage to your transformer.
Okay. Can I safely store amps in an attic, Charlotte, South Carolina, not heated or cooled? So I'd imagine that's pretty, could get humid in the summer.
I mean, I guess it depends on where you live and how humid that might get. If you don't live in a humid climate, it might be better. Humidity would be and condensation of any kind would be the worst thing for it, because there's rust and corrosion and things. As far as heated or cooled, it doesn't really matter.
I'll say I keep some amps in my garage, and some days my garage can get up to like, you know, 90 degrees, and they're fine.
Yeah, I mean,
I've not had any problems with in all these years to have an amp in the garage.
I mean, you got to think about some of these used amps and old amps that are out there, you know, have been around since since the 50s or 60s. And they're still like, you know, I've seen a bunch that are really rusted and all sorts of stuff, but they're fine.
Mm. Yeah, I think you'll be fine. I wouldn't store guitars by any stretch.
Probably not a good idea for guitars, no.
No, never. That's the thing. That's why I freak whenever I lose electricity or AC down here, because then the house can just suddenly get to like 90, you know. That's bad for guitars. Oh, this is nice, Richard Friend. Hey, guys. Best part of the week is hanging with Mark and Dave. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Same with you. Let's see. I know we've got more questions coming. Oh, look who's in the chat. My wife. She's in New York City. Hey, guys. The Tone Talk logo is on the T-shirts, masks. Yes, it is. So make sure you guys check it out. We actually bought two masks, as controversial as that could be. I just wanted to see how... I sent you a picture. They were high quality stuff. It took like a week and a half, 2 weeks to get. So, you like my shirt? Thanks, Richard. I never saw them live, but I wish I did.
Nor did I.
I'm kind of a poser with the shirt, because I never saw them, but I do love the Police though. Let's see, has there been any clips of Dave's original 50 watt plexi that is the baseline of tone he prefers in his head?
There was a long time ago, at this amp shootout. I don't even know if it's still out there on video or not. I have to look.
Zach Baines, what's the difference in tone between EL34s and 6550s in a rock amp?
Well, 6550s can be really, really cool. they can be really cool. It's kind of the bass seems a little more extended and it's a little less compressed, so it's a little more like a punchy, hard-hitting brick wall kind of thing. It can be super cool. I mean, I've done some 6550s or KT88s in a BE100 before, and it sounds great.
And is it just a rebias, basically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's yeah, cool. Simple. It's cool. It's just punchier, more brutal.
May have to try it. Cool.
More headroomy, sort of, in the power amp.
Use the Friedman font. That can be cool.
Except it's not a font. It's a custom drawn logo. So there's really a font for it.
Mm-mm. Oh, well. I was going to say.
There's a couple fonts that are close to it.
All right. We'll find something. I'm not sure. Mr. Servon. That's John Shanks in the background. We wanted to put it up that way so people can see
how big it is compared to the rack that's next to it. Is,
yeah. Let's see. BV Ninja, thanks for providing the bare knuckle pickups. Solar Warden, what's Mustaine running in his live rig on tour currently? Do you know that?
I have no idea.
Kiko puts up sick videos giving great looks behind the scenes gear info, but any info about Dave gear is classified or some shit.
I have no clue whatsoever.
Okay. Mike in Miami. Hey, Dave and Mark. Mark, sorry we missed you at ZZ Top. Owe you some pics and vids. We'll be hitting Grand Funk Railroad. Bruce Kulick on guitar with Grand Funk? That's interesting. That's cool. Thanks again for the awesome shows. So is Mark Farner playing with Grand Funk? Or is it Mark Farner separate from Grand Funk? And
got me. No idea.
Yeah. I know Mark Farner was supposed to be on the show at some point. We talked about it, but it just didn't work out. So sorry, guys. And sorry I didn't get to see you at ZZ Top. So here's the story. So it's a long sorted story, but basically April wasn't feeling well, so we kind of skipped the show. Even though I had tickets, which is basically the first time I've ever done that, which was just a total waste of money. So,
oh boy.
But hey, whatever, shit happens. I'm glad she's okay. So Daniel, thanks for the super chat. You sent this twice, I think, which I can't thank you enough. And I did see what you put before, but thank you a lot. We really, really appreciate it. It depends on the sleeves and just have the tone talk on the front, possibly another saying in the back. I don't know, y'all. I like the look of McGregor's fuck you suit. Much love, Mark. You know, I will figure something out, but there are limited options also on Spring T on where you can place things and kind of designs and stuff like that. So we'll have to see what they allow. Modern Vintage, thank you. Dave, since the Dirty Shirley is one channel versus two channel TS, does the Dirty Shirley have any feel or tone? Oh, twin sister. Does the Dirty Shirley have any feel or tonal differences? Can the fuzzy, grainy sound of the slacks be removed with a mod?
Okay, many questions. Yeah. The Dirty Shirley, no, it's the same. It feels the same. Long as you have the settings that we added to the twin sister, the same, you know. So we added, you know, a bright tight switch kind of thing, and then you have a deep knob. If the deep knob is at half and that thing other thing's off, then it's the same feel, same everything.
So, all right. So that's the one question, and then the fuzzy, grainy sound of the slash being removed with a mod.
I don't know. Most people don't describe it as that, but I mean, if you want it to be a different amp, it can be.
Interesting. So. Okay. I have a question on Michael Nielsen's Dirty Shirley, Dirty's Brown Eye, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's 100-watt Dirty Shirley, right?
One channel is 100-watt Dirty Shirley. The other channel is 100-watt BE channel. Yeah, 100 watts.
Okay. So how do you work that when there's two different tube rectifier, or there's a one's tube rectifier versus...
We don't put a tube rectifier in it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. There's just no tube rectifier. I mean, the rectifier isn't like the end all be all thing. It's not, you know, a solid state rectifier is a little punchier and it's a little more voltage there. And maybe, you know, the sag doesn't necessarily come from that. Really, the sound of the Shirley is more about the channel itself.
The preamp.
I mean, somewhat the power section too in the field, but the preamp makes the, you know, vast majority of the difference.
Okay. And the way to get it to 100 watts is just using a bigger transformer, basically a 100-watt transformer.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially, yeah. So, I mean, I took a BE amp and put those channels in, so that's what I did with him.
Gotcha. All right. Let's see. Scrolling. Minimal Machinery. Dave, in episode 77, you came up with an idea for a preamp with IRs. Any news about that? A real tube preamp that could be plugged direct would be awesome.
We'll see. I cannot confirm or deny this.
Okay. Well, that answer alone means something. So, let's see. Let me keep scrolling here. I want to make sure I catch other questions. Ray Mitchell. Hey, Dave, what are you using for cabling and connectors in your rack builds these days? P.S. Bought the Bray line out box per your advice. Works great and sounds better with the captor for wet, dry, wet.
Oh, nice. Cool. What am I using? So mostly Mogami cabling, 2314, I think. It's the thinner Mogami. And for connectors, I use a lot of square plug connectors for angles and short straights. And then depending on some other straights, I mean, sometimes I use Neutrik or sometimes I use Amphenol.
Okay. Steven, we're going to have to expel you from the show. He says NAM is like tube amps, no longer practical, but just a lot of fun. They're still practical, too bad.
You're fired, Steven.
Yeah, Steven, come on. They're practical. I hope they never go away. Let's see. Will you have Eddie Lenz on the show? I have to be honest, I don't know who Eddie Lenz is.
Eddie Lenz? The guy that makes the guitars? Is that what you're talking about? I don't know.
Yeah. Not sure. Here's another question from Daniel Judge. Dave, I want a Stone Age 4x12 that can that need speaker cabling? What do you recommend? I do not like the snap-on cables that exist. Does that need speaker cabling?
Just solder some wire in. you know, some decent gauge wire, maybe 18 gauge, 14 gauge wire, something like that. 14 gauge would be way heavy. So,
oh, you know, I want to give a shout out to, on Michael Torin's recommendation. I wanted to get your opinion. If you even know anything about the Frenzel tube preamps.
I don't know. That sounds familiar.
So I picked up, I had one made by Frenzel,
mm-hmm.
Frenzel. And basically it's, the preamp in my rack. I had just got another, it's a 2U preamp, and the first channel, it's, these are different mods you can get on it. Basically the one is, it comes with a plexi, and then the second channel is a JCM 800, I believe, channel. But anyway, I had mine as a high watt channel one, mm-hmm. and channel two is a push pull JCM 800 plexi.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds really, sounds great. The high watt cool. channel sounds really great. I have to say, when Mike Torin came over, we were,
what's
I just
name of the
got
company again?
Frenzel.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, pretty cool. It wasn't expensive either. It was maybe less than $600. So yeah, I really like it. In the rack, it sounds really good. Modern Vintage. Does anyone have feedback on the Karsten's Grace amp? I've not heard about
it. I don't know anything about the Karsten amps, really. I haven't heard them. I'm not sure. I mean, I know of them.
This is a good idea. You builders should just organize a big meetup instead. Well, that's what they used to do with the LA Amp Show and stuff, right?
When it's safe. When's that? I mean, like, when it's safe. I don't know. Yeah, that's hard. That's
it will be eventually. When this will
target. That's a far-reaching target. I mean, you know, it just doesn't. I mean,
hey, look, the 1918 pandemic didn't last forever. Eventually, it ended. So, we'll get out of it. That's my opinion. Demetrius Patton, thanks for the super chat. Is there a way to identify an old replacement output transformer that's in a 70 super bass that I just picked up? It has plastic bobbins.
Is there a way to identify it? I don't know. I'd have to see a picture of it. Maybe I can identify it. Possibly. To see what era or where it came from.
You want to send Dave pictures?
You can.
I have to
take a look.
What is it again? I always forget your email address.
Friedmanamps at Gmail.
Yeah, send him some pictures of the transformer. See if he can identify it.
Yeah, inside the chassis too, like the connections to the impedance selector. I see the wires and the outside.
Cool.
Might be able to tell.
Vinny. What's up, Vinny? I just bought a wetter box for a board I'm building.
Cool.
You sure it's for the board? I'm just busting your balls, Vinny. I love you. You know that. He was in Nashville and he found a Sir Pete Thorne model that he picked up. He had never played one before and he loved it. I know he was thrilled with that. Let's see what else we got. Okay. James Maxwell, on my way to play a gig at the Masonic Temple, Detroit, with two no-hos, best gigging guitars ever. Thanks for making my life easier. Awesome.
Awesome.
You know that place, the Masonic mm-hmm. Temple?
Mm-hmm. It's a famous place there.
Am I saying it correctly?
Masonic Temple, yep.
Masonic, okay.
Yep. Look it up. It's got some cool trivia and some history behind it for sure.
Let's see. Thanks for liking my shirt. Appreciate it. You know, there are times I'm actually like, okay, I got to wear a different shirt than I wore like 5 times ago or something.
You should always be wearing a Friedman shirt.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Or at least a Tone Talk shirt.
Really? I always feel like that's kind of goofy to wear your own shirt.
I'm just joking.
That's just me. Were the mini heads partly based on the Marshall MOSFET ones?
No, they weren't based on any other amps. I mean, they were our own circuits and stuff. I just like the idea of this nice little mini tiny little toy, you know?
Right. Oh, I love it. I've got the mini one right there. You can see it.
Cool.
Are they going to come out with a Saldana one?
It could be.
Okay. Cause that's the only one that doesn't have an actual pedal.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, just trying to get some information. Guitar Rock 777. Thanks for the question. Hey, Dave and Mark, I have a Laney AOR 100 head and a Marshall JCM 800 cabinet. Can I connect another amp head into that mix and how?
Into the same cabinet?
Yeah, you can use, there's head switchers. They have head switchers.
There's head switchers. A small like 2 amp head switcher. Mesa Boogie makes ones that would probably be good for that. If you need something bigger to switch more things, then there's Ampete or KHE Audio out of Switzerland. Those would be good choices.
I know Metropolis, George Metropolis used to make one.
Oh yeah, George has an amp, 2-channel amp switcher too. Yep.
If you can find one used, or is he still making them?
Yeah, I think so. I think he had some up recently. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. Next, I'll see George next week. So.
Oh, that's right. You're going to Detroit.
Well, not next week. The week after I'll see him.
Cool. Barrows Hazrat, thanks for the super chat. Thank you for the fantastic content. What is the difference between ported and closed back cabs, such as a Freedman 2x12 vertical? And do you recommend ported cab for a metal genre?
A difference between ported and closed back cabs. So in both of my 2x12 cabs, I have a little sort of ventilation port, so to speak. A lot of times with a smaller 212 cabinet and you close the back, it sounds kind of boxy. Doesn't quite have the airspace internally to make it work like a 4x12 does. So I kind of stole an idea from Hiwatt, which they did years ago, of a little rectangular port at the bottom edge of the cabinet. And by doing that, it opens up the box. It makes it sound bigger. So it doesn't sound like boxy and small. So that's why I did that.
Hmm. Okay. Now, just out of curiosity, just say somebody wanted to just put a hole in the back of their 2x12 cab.
You could. I mean, there is some science to the whole thing, but I don't know if I necessarily recommend you ruining something.
Or what if you just took the back off?
Well, then that's a full open back cabinet. Sounds very different.
Yeah. I'm in an experimental mood right now. Sorry. Feeling like Johan, or actually I said his name wrong. Remember that? How do you pronounce his name? I was saying it the whole time during the show, but now I can't remember how I said it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. I forget how he told us to pronounce it. How well is the Synergy 2CP selling? I think it's selling great from what I see.
I don't really have that information, so I don't know.
Well, from what I can see, it looks like it's doing well.
Yeah, it's a cool module.
Yeah. Can we get a rig rundown of Shank's new setup?
Sure. How would I do that? Yeah, that would be a good idea, actually. I should film it. It's hard to do right here, right now, because I can't pick up my 27-inch iMac and move it with me. I'd have to sign on a phone to do that.
Yeah.
Which I could do, but it sounds like a lot of hassle right now. I can tell you sort of what's in the rack. Essentially, there's three or four, three. Four pedal drawers full of pedals. And essentially those go into the Ampete amp switcher. And the Ampete amp switcher switches between four heads. Currently, it's two vintage Marshall 100-watt heads, and a high-watt head, and a kind of a head that was a high-powered like twin that was put into a head box. So he switches between those into a dry cabinet, but that's mic'd. And then it's fed with a mic pre that's in his rack and a distressor and feeds the post-processing. And then essentially out of the mixer, it's a balanced out and that goes to the house. So really it's a stereo rig. There's no cabinets on stage for John necessarily.
Hmm.
And it's a stereo rig and he's feeding like a studio grade signal to the house basically. And the post-processing is a couple Eventide H9s, a Free the Tone, the newer delay from Free the Tone, it escapes me right now, the stereo delay they have, and Eventide Eclipse, Bricosti Reverb, which I wish you would have bought that from Sweetwater.
A Bricosti Reverb you got in there?
Yeah, there's a second one. Furman on top, then an Eclipse, and then the next one down is the Bricosti. And then an Ashley mixer, which is really great mixer, line mixer.
Wow.
And Bricosti Reverb. And you know what? It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, it sounds
good. I gotta say, it's pretty great. Wow. And the feel of everything is like just like super like expensive, which it is.
It is. Yeah. I was going to say he's got the best.
Super high end. I mean, you know, it's crazy. That's amazing. That's controlled with the skid strip switcher. It's not skid strip. It's Caveman Audio now. Was skid strip. Still by Steen's skid strip.
Cool. What a rig. Mikey Newman, thank you for the question. Hey guys, Dave, have you ever looked at a Bugera 1960? Is it anything like a Plexi or is it moddable? Just got myself a Freedman 72 wah and it's amazing.
Yeah, the 1960 was basically like a four input Marshall. So it is like a Plexi. Is it moddable? I don't think I'd want to. The way the circuit board and pots are done in there, it just seems like it would fall apart.
Crazy.
I'm sure it might be moddable,
but you're risking.
I'm not so sure I'm that excited to do it.
Cushman, New York City. Is a Fender Super 62 amp worth servicing?
Well, is it worth servicing? Do you want to keep it or sell it? Maybe. Sure. Why not? I guess you can answer that. You're the only one that can really answer that. You either throw it in the trash or service it or sell it or something.
It's an interesting question from Scott Miller. Hey guys, Dave, where did the name for the C45 switch come from and who designs the circuitry for your pedals?
C45 switch, where did it come from? Originally, I modified an amp with that circuit that was kind of a JTM 45. The C45 basics of it is like the Dirty Shirley, the preamp circuit, is very similar to that. I originally had modified a 45 watt amp with that, and it became the custom 45 amp from Blankenship that was available for a while.
This was
years ago, and then I just kept the name and just adapted it as a switch on some of my amps.
So it's a good way of turning your BE-100 into a Dirty Shirley-esque.
It's still a little different, but it's missing a couple other things later in the circuit. So it's not exactly that, but it's more like that.
Gotcha. Stuart McClellan. Gentlemen, thanks.
Oh, wait, so wasn't there some more to that?
Oh, who designs your pedals? The circuitry.
I mean, the pedals are designed by myself and another guy named Robert that you wouldn't know who he is. We work on all the pedals together that we do.
Stuart McClellan, thanks so much for all the shows. Tube snob here, but the UA Bucks and Betty is excellent. Looking forward to adding Real Freedmans to the library.
Yeah, I mean, UA and Brainworks, who actually did the plugins. There's also, I don't think of the Bucks and Betty yet, but of all the other two plugins that we have, Dirty Shirley and BE, are available as native on the Brainworks plugin alliance site, or you can get them from UA for the UA interfaces. Those are great plugins, man. Brainworks did a fantastic job with that.
So, question on the UA plugin. So, if you were to play that, would you open it up as a plugin in your DAW, like, you know, Logic, or could you open it since you have the UA?
No, you put it in the console.
You put it in the console.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it uses its DSP.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. All right. I haven't tried it yet, but I wanted to ask you that question.
Oh yeah. You just pull it up in the console strip and as a plugin that you use, just like you're using now your distressor.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. I need to send in a super chat for that. Sorry. All right, here we go. John DeShane, love these shows. Dave, I have an Egnator stereo cab with V30s and greenbacks, and of course the best amp ever, BE100 Deluxe. How do I run my stereo effects with it? An Egnator stereo cab.
Okay, you have a how do you run your stereo effects with it? So you have one amp, but a stereo cab, I mean, you can't really run your effects with it unless you're talking like you're going to have a line out. You're going to have a three cab setup where you're going to have a dry cabinet, then a line out to stereo effects to the stereo cab. The only other way you could do it is you could do a wet dry thing too with a small power amp where half the cab is the Freedman just directly into it, and then you could take a line out and feed your effects and into a little power amp and go to the other half of the cabinet. That's a possibility. You could do something like that with a power station too, I think. Let me think about that for a second. Yeah.
All right.
In fact, I know exactly how you do that. So like with a power station, kind of unique kind of thing you could do with a setup like that is so your amp goes directly to one side of that cabinet, which I'm not sure the impedance. I'm assuming it's 8 ohms. And then you set the power station for 8 ohms. Also set your amp for 4 ohms because you're going to plug them both in, and then put the effect in the loop of the power station, and then use the speaker output of that to power the other side of the cab.
Hmm.
Hence wet dry in one cabinet.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little weirdness there, maybe slightly when the cabinet's not, you know, isolated from each other. So there is some crosstalk in the cabinet between things, but it works.
Cool. Thanks for the question.
There's an idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered it, but, you know, somewhat.
Well, I think that's the only way you would be able to run it in stereo with one cab.
Right. Right.
You would have to have another power amp, like you said. Vipas Patil, thank you. Thanks for answering my questions about pedals. I'm curious as to why we've rarely seen the Lexicon rack stuff recreated in pedal format. Do you have any idea why this is? Any patent stuff?
Seems like Lexicon should have done it years ago. But Lexicon really is not Lexicon anymore. I mean, years ago, they had amazing engineers and everything that worked there. And over the years, it's just a name now, you know. It's not so easy to do. All the recreating some of that classic effects is hard because there was a lot of, you know, full size analog circuitry involved with it, and it's just hard to stick it in a pedal format. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't be done under DSP, so to speak.
Bruce Clement, Dave, were you using Classic Tone Iron in production amps? Are you using Haybauer now? Did you try Hammond, and what do you think of them?
We did have chokes and power transformers in the 100-watt amps were from Magnetic Components, Classic Tone. But at various times, I've also used Haybauer for that same thing. So currently it's all Haybauer, straight across. Haybauer's great. I mean, there's no issues. No issues with that at all. And as far as Hammond, I mean, Hammond makes some good stuff. A really long time ago, early amps, I used some Hammond stuff. That was kind of cool. It's not really, they're not as much of a custom transformer maker as Haybauer would be. Not bad, though.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody knows to please press subscribe and click the bell. We appreciate that. And also check out Sweetwater and the link that we provide. And a super chat. Hey, Dave, have you had a chance to check out Third Power Magfrag pickups?
Nope, never have.
I have them. I have them in my Les Paul right there. So they sound great. I like them. They're cool. An improvement on what I had on them. So yeah, I'd recommend them. Let's see. Patrick Miller, at a loud equal volume, what differences might be apparent between an amp that does gain in the front end versus power amp distortion, BE versus plexi?
Aha. The BE can totally simulate the plexi thing, but the one thing that you can't in just a preamp-based circuit, I mean, we could probably get the circuit where you can't really tell at all in a video. I've done this for people in person. But what is missing is a little bit of the wildness of an amp that's just on the brink of destroying itself. There's something that happens with a plexi that cranked up on 10. When you smack the cord hard, there's like this kind of the sag, and then it kind of comes walloping back at you. There's the sag in the power supply, and it kind of comes walloping right back at you. And it has this very dynamic thing to it. Also, with an amp like that, it will clean up a lot more than a preamp based gain amp. I mean, really clean, actually, with just the volume knob. It's way more dynamic. It's just a different thing. Can you get it to sound pretty much exactly the same? Yes. But if you know what to look for, you go, oh yeah, there's that little thing, but does that little thing necessarily matter for maybe what you have to go through to get that sound? I'm not sure, but
in the mix of a song. Yeah.
Well, you're probably not you might not hear that. I mean, you would hear it in something that has a very prominent guitar thing. Maybe if you knew what you were listening for, but we're believe me, I've gone back and forth with this so many times. I can get it like almost perfect for someone.
That guy who you just posted the video who was doing the eruption licks.
Yeah.
So he's simulating a plexi on 10, ready to blow up. He's
playing a BE channel.
Yeah, and it sounds dead on.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. So, yeah. But you're right. And maybe it's more of a feel thing in front of you or something.
Yeah, it is kind of like a feel. It's a little rattier and a little wilder. Mm.
Good question, though.
Yeah.
Thank you. Snuffy 166. I see Richard Fortas just got a Sig Gretsch. Yeah. Good for him.
Awesome.
His career has taken off. Good for Richard. He's a good dude. And he plays great. When I saw him with GNR, he was great. Really held his own.
Absolutely. He's great.
Mike Fincham. Hey, Dave, what are your thoughts about divided by 13 amps? Have you guys ever asked Fred to come on? Have not asked Fred to come on. I'd like to. And I remember I talked to Brett Papa about.
I know Fred. I mean,
yeah.
Fred's an awesome dude. He would be great to have on the show. Divided by 13s, they're a cool amp. They have their own little sound to them. They're cool. They've been around a long time. And a lot of pros that I deal with have them.
Yeah, a lot of guys use them.
Yeah.
Sean Tubb loves them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sean, hope he's doing well. Let's see. Hey, Dave, how close is the Diamond Phantom to the JCM 800? Do you know what other models are similar to?
Oh, man, I have no idea, actually. I don't know anything about the Diamond Phantom circuit-wise.
Oh, you know what I wanted to ask? So I saw that Stephen Fryett played...
You don't get a question.
Oh, forget it. Okay.
What, Stevie did what?
He played with Roxette?
No.
He was doing that...
Animotion.
Animotion.
Yeah. He played the original, the famous song. He played the solo and stuff on it.
I had no idea. Yeah, yeah. I saw a clip he posted him with the band. Was it the name of the band Animotion? That's what it was?
I think it was right. Yeah, I think that's not Roxette. Okay. No.
No, not Roxette. Okay. I was thinking. All right. Animotion. And the name of the song was Obsession?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I saw. I was like, holy shit, Stephen Fry. I had no idea. Good for him.
Yeah.
It's cool. Dave, have you heard Cantrell's new solo album?
I haven't listened to it yet.
No, I haven't either.
People keep asking me that. I said I probably should listen to it.
Wonder which shootout Dave was referring to in regards to his original 50 Plexi, the James Lugo amp shootout?
It was the original James Lugo amp shootout. Not the second one, the original one.
And your original Plexi is there?
Yeah.
And your one in the Marshes as well?
I think so, yes. The original, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember watching that.
Long time ago, yeah. That was a fun hang.
Yeah, definitely. That was like...
I think it was the original one or the second one. I can't remember which one was which. I think the original one, maybe my Plexi wasn't there, but maybe the second one. I could be wrong with what I'm telling you. One of them.
I was just watching this the other day. For the life of me, I will never forget the Wife Whisperer in Vegas episode. I was watching that. The door knock. You're like, you and Jake both look over and you're like, hang on a second, I'll deal with this. That was great. And then you're talking to his wife and I hear she's like, the people down there think I'm a hooker. I was dying. That was good.
Classic.
Yeah, totally. Peter Lay says, hey, Dave, totally get the fire and supply chain have really messed up with your world. How's the amp modding backlog looking these days? Also, what are your favorite preamp tubes for an SLO? Thanks. I wonder if he's got something for modding.
Peter, I have your amp. I will finish it. I was just thinking about it today, and I'm going to try to get it finished up before I leave on vacation Thursday. So that's your notice. Supply chain's fun. Fire was a lot of fun, but supply chain stuff just is never ending. It's like the minute you find some part that you needed for something to replace another part that you can't get, then some other part is missing.
stupid things,
and some of them are dumb too, like gold piping. Gold piping, we simply can't get it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think we finally found a way to get some, but I mean, like gold, everyone's sold out of gold piping everywhere. All the distributors, everything. It
comes from China, right? Or it comes from...
Well, I mean, some of it came from China. Some of them came from here, probably mostly all China. But no one had it. And then we had to find a different supplier. Because all that was taken by the insurance company as junk, which it probably really wasn't junk. That was one of some of the stuff that probably still could have been used. Mm. Yeah, things like that. So, I mean, like, I'm of the mind now, though, if like, hey, we can't get the piping. Guess what? You're going to have black piping now in your head. Okay, great. or no head. What's your choice?
Right.
You know, so, yeah. And then it got constantly things come up, like different capacitors and this and that. Fortunately, we had ordered big enough on some stock that we had a mass quantity of parts on hand. Right now we literally, if we see something that's going to work, we'll literally buy all of it.
Mm.
Everything. And then make it even harder for all the small companies to buy things.
Right. Well,
it's getting very hard. Like there's one particular capacitor that's used in every single one of my amps, and believe it or not, and it seems like a really common part. We've almost drained the entire supply of everything that we can get our hands on.
Wow.
So, I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do if we can't get more.
Is it an overseas product as well?
Well, every capacitor is an overseas product, except our coupling caps, which are Synergy mustard caps. Mm-hmm. They're made here in the US. But almost every other component is made overseas somewhere or in Mexico.
Oh, what are your favorite preamp tubes for an SLO?
Oh, really? The old Chinese ones you can't buy now. Unfortunately, you could still probably buy them surplus, so to speak, but, those are the best in an SLO for sure. They're a lot better than the JJs. They're more open sounding. I mean, the JJs will work, and that's what Soldano was shipping towards the end, and that's what current Soldano is shipping with. But they're okay.
So which Chinese ones?
The original 12AX7Bs, the made by Shuguang, how do you say it? That factory doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So... Or will it ever be exist again? Good question. I sure hope so, because I'm really kind of sick of preamp tubes. Those preamp tubes really worked well. So I'm kind of like, ugh. I mean, I use EH7025s now, which are pretty good, but they're a little lower gain, a little duller on the top end. Kind of like Sovtek WBs. Sometimes too, they're a good workhorse, or sometimes tongue soles, but you can't put tongue soles in cathode followers. Preamp tubes are kind of a pain in the ass right now.
This is funny. We'll see as the new depends. that's funny.
We'll see.
Have to mark that one down too. are the Freeman wahs close in any way to Dean DeLeo's modded wah?
Yeah, the little mod switch that's on the underneath is something I've been doing to wahs forever. So yes, similar.
Did I skip a question? I wanted to make sure. No. Okay. Hang on. It's moving. Hey guys, love the show. I'm looking for one and done type pedal for all things delay reverb. Is the H9 still a valid option? Well, only if you want to run one effect at a time. That's the only problem with the H9.
And the switches presets really slow. And you want everything in one, huh? Delay and reverb, huh? You know, this is not something I'd always recommend, but I it does sound pretty good. The Line 6 HX effects can do a lot of that stuff and all in one. It's pretty decent sounding.
Okay.
Delay and reverb, that's what throws it off. I mean, like, you know, all things in one multi effects. I don't know.
You know who seems to do that? Doesn't Richie Kotzen, those little rigged?
Those rigs, those are kind of cool, but Tech 21 makes them.
Tech 21.
But I don't think that's what he's really asking.
Yeah. The other one, you know, that I used to have, which was pretty cool, but I mean, you can probably find them really cheap these days, and it has reverb and delay in it. It was the Nova system, the TC Nova system.
Oh yeah, that was really good actually, but it's kind of big.
Yeah, it was a big
board,
and it had a decent drive on it that would be for the front of the amp, and then you can actually use some effects if you wanted to do the four cable thing or whatever. But if I remember correctly, but anyway, it did have reverb and delay in there too.
You know, there's a Boss version, the mini version of the GT1000 that's a multi effects. You know, they got that big thing called the GT1000, has preamps in it and effects. Mm-hmm. Well, they have a smaller box. It's a little one that has that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could also use a HX, you know, stomp.
There's right.
A possibility too, although I think the effects might be easier to use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cushman, we did actually answer this, if a Super 60 yep, amp was worth serving. So hope you heard us. We basically said, yeah.
Sure. Not just to rewatch the whole show.
Exactly. Oh man, if anybody wants to do the timestamps for us on our shows, please reach out to me. We used to have a guy, Alex, who did it, and I guess he got too busy or couldn't do it anymore. I was actually thinking of going to the local college and seeing if I might be able to get an intern to like help do editing on some videos and like searching,
right, for,
you know, or something like that, because I just don't have the time to do it. But anyway, Dave, will a Tweed style amp ever be on the Friedman line? I really dig my Dirty Shirley.
Maybe possibility exists. We'll see. That's another for the t-shirt. Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe. It depends.
It depends. You got a roll, Dave? In a few minutes?
I'm getting to the end here for me.
Okay. All right, cool. Let me go to the super chats then. Mad Max, Dave, what do you think of the Jakey Lee Voodoo Highway album guitar sound? Can a small box 50 get modded to get that sound?
You know, I've actually never heard it.
I've not heard that album either.
I should listen. Good question.
When did that come out?
I don't remember. 90s?
Yeah, oh, okay. It's a long time.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Wow. Well, I would just go back to this because you did send in a super chat. I want to make sure you get your answer. Can a small box 50 get modded to get that sound? Well,
until I hear it, I don't know.
Yeah. So,
well, considering Jake likes the small box 50 just as it is, I would think it might already do it.
But you'll check it out. Rob's Tone Zone. Thank you. Dave, who is the most tone anal guitarist you ever worked with, and did you help them?
The tone anal guitarist I've worked with. I how do you define that? People that hear things like really well and know exactly what they want? Is that I mean, a couple people come to mind. Obviously, Steve Stevens has always been really into what he does and the sounds he likes, and he knows exactly what he wants out of something. Rusty Anderson from Paul McCartney's band is extremely picky about how he has really good ears, and he does hear things, certain things that some people actually don't hear at all. And he has a really strong idea exactly what he wants to do with his signal chain and everything. I mean, those guys really, I mean, Eddie Van Halen too, to the same sort of extent, like Steve Stevens.
Mm. I was going to mention Eddie.
They're always, searching for something. How did I help them? I don't know how I helped them, but I did put their rigs together and make their what they wanted a reality.
Yeah, I mean, who is the person that was talking about working with you and you were putting the little clips on and like putting
Phil X,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, "Oh, I hear it."
Yeah.
This is it, you know. So, I mean, I know for him, that you were a huge help for him and mm-hmm. what he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
So, Mark, how about Vivian Campbell on Tone Talk? Yeah, I'd love to have.
Was actually just thinking about working on that.
That would be great. Yep. I actually love Last in Line. I think great band. The singer's great.
Mm-hmm. I know Andrew.
Yeah, really, that'd be mm-hmm. great. Let me get to the last questions here. We have Simil 77 sent in a super chat, but I don't see your question. Let me know if I miss it. Hey, we got Liquid Charlie in the house. Hey guys, hope you go good. Thanks, man. Hope
hey man. Too.
Like Liquid Charlie. Cycling Republic. Hey, Dave, I'm looking to get a BE50 Deluxe and would only be using it for home use. Is it a terrible idea to just use one of your 1x12 cabinets? If not, which one should I get? Thanks, Mike. Thank Michael Nielsen for promoting products.
I mean, you can just get our standard ported 1x12 cabinet if you just want a small little cabinet. Obviously, the head will be larger than it. I mean, our 1x12 cabinet sounds awesome.
What's the speaker in it? It's
That's a 65-watt Creamback, but you could order it with something else if you'd like. It's funny. I have a couple of those cabinets here that I had some speakers laying around, some old classic Lead 80s that I put in them, and that was a cool speaker too, if you want it to be more metal sort of sounding.
Cool. I just want to make sure we answered everything. Yeah, okay. It's not a terrible idea to use a 1x12. Just don't punish the 1x12 or you'll blow the speaker at some point. But
yeah, it's pretty good though. I mean, you should be pretty good. I mean, unless you're playing really loud. That's funny. When I was testing on this rig the other day, I was just playing through the 1x12 we have here. We just had a couple empties and we had a couple leftover speakers. So we just shoved these classic 80s in that we had to leave, 80 watt Celestians that we had laying around. And I was listening to the cabinet the other day. I go, this sounds huge.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the 80s are a little more scooped in the mid, so the cabinet even sounds bigger then.
Hmm.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Gonzalo Cordovez. Hey, Mark, Dave, have you ever heard or play a Marshall mod that a guy in Canada makes? RT mod, Michael Audette. They sound pretty cool.
I know who it is and I know what he's doing, and Yeah, it's cool. He's basically just kind of cascading the channels, and then it's got a post-phase master on it. It sounds cool. Probably not exceptionally... you can't tweak the EQs a lot with it. It's more like a plexi-ish sort of in nature, like that.
Okay. By the way, guys, don't send any more at Super Chats because Dave's got to run. Cycling Republic. My previous question, would it be better to get one of your smaller heads to get that BE sound with a 1x12 cabinet? Yeah, I mean, you could do that.
I mean, you could. I mean, like the yeah, sure. Although you know, the BE Deluxe, the 50 Deluxe has a lot of options, so I think that's a cool choice, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
more full featured.
Yeah. I mean, there are other heads that you can get from Freedman that have the BE sound. I mean, you can get
the Wildwood 20. You could get the JJ Jr. You could get the Runt. Mm-hmm. Get all sorts of things.
Modern Vintage, thanks again. Since the Dirty Shirley is one chat. Did we ask that?
Yep.
Does the feel? No, yeah. Wow, that's weird. Any updates from the Dirty Shirley to the no, it's the same thing.
Yep,
we did answer. Okay, thanks for the super chat again. We got a few more, Dave, before you got to run. Can you swap out JCM 2000 DSL 100 transformers input, output, and choke with a Haybar? What difference would it make in sound? Do you need pre and power amp mods to give the amp more balls?
I mean, it's not going to make as much of a difference as you think it would make. It might make it a little sweeter, a little rounder. Really the output transformer, you wouldn't have to replace power and choke or anything. Might be a little rounder, a little richer, especially if you push it a little bit. But I mean, you know, the DSL is the DSL. I mean, it's going to be what it sort of is. It's not really too tweakable or anything. I mean, there's a couple little things you can do to them, but it's not going to make it a different beast.
Okay. Got 300 people watching. Make sure you guys hit subscribe, please.
All 300 of you right now.
Right now. Someone just dropped off.
Let's see it move.
Down to 299. Helmet Asperger, thanks for the super chat. Hi, Dave. Are you open to some nailing suggestions? There's a British comic called Viz that has a proforaneous, which would give endless inspiration. For example, hairy axe wound, blue vein. Oh, naming. Maybe he means naming suggestions.
Uh-huh.
Hairy axe wound, blue veined hooligan, rusty sheriff's badge.
Okay.
Okay. I just got today when I was thinking about your pickup, the triple D, I was like, oh yeah, I see. Now I know where he's going with that one. Like, it never dawned on me.
There you go.
I'm like, okay.
Subtlety is the key.
Yeah. Let me scroll down. I know there's a couple more. Josh BW3, thank you. Got a Motor City P90X after watching the show with Wade. Incredible pickup. Any favorites for a junior rap bridge that intonates and sounds good? Well, I just got...
Oh, man. I mean, you know, there's the old... That intonates and sounds good. I mean, no, I don't have any off the top of my head, but there are ones available that are somewhat intonated. There's also some that will intonate to some extent, and then there's ones like the old Badass Bridge, which has been around for years, that is fully intonatable, but sounds different. It's a little, might be a little weird.
Oh, he's talking about a bridge instead. I thought he was talking about pickups.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about pickups first.
Right.
Yeah, the Motor City P90X is awesome.
I have the black belt, which is great. Don't want to rush people, but there's a lot of stuff here. Hang on. I think we got to all the super chats.
All right.
I think, let me just double check while we're doing this.
I wasn't that punished today.
No, there were a lot of questions. Yeah. No, I think we got it all. Hang on. Let me just refresh this. And in terms of guests, we are pretty open on guests right now. We're waiting to hear from a few people. So, and then Dave, you're going on vacation.
I'm gone for 11 days starting Thursday.
Right. So we won't be back probably until after the Thanksgiving holiday when you come back.
Correct.
So we'll be back doing the show probably the following Saturday, which would be like December 4th. So just to let you guys know, thank you everybody for watching. We appreciate it. I think we've gotten to all the super chat questions. I know, Dave, you got to get back to work.
Yep, I do.
I'm going
to
go
We try to keep these down to, you know, hour and a half, yeah, roughly, generally. So if we didn't get you, we'll get you next time, because there's probably a good chance there'll be another Dave's Ask before the next guest.
Yeah, probably. We're working on it. So,
yeah.
But everybody have a great, fantastic weekend, and we will see you next time. Make sure you check out our Facebook page, Twitter. Just look up Tone Talk, and please hit subscribe and check out Sweetwater. All right.
All right. Awesome, guys.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.